Hello, I'm Ingrid Farrow, and I am the coordinator of the MA in Old Testament program at Northern Seminary. So I teach Old Testament, and I love it.
Dr. Ingrid Farrow, good to see you. Welcome back to the Lanier Theological Library.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Thanks for being with us here today on the Stone Chapel podcast.
Thank you.
You've been here before. What's your impressions of the place?
I love the environment because you bring together a wide variety of scholars and lay people and people with different backgrounds, and we just get to talk and explore. And of course, it's such a beautiful environment too, with lots of books. And of course, as a scholar, that's like being in a candy store.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And we love the fact that people like you come and study, and they sit down and they pull a lot of books off the shelf and write an article, write a book, whatever it is. So for those who don't know Ingrid Farrow, who is she?
I was not always a theologian by any means. I had two careers, first in nutrition and then in insurance, which, of course, the natural thing is to move into theology after
yes,
those.
Yeah, absolutely. So, fire insurance, isn't that what
it is? Yeah, right. So I started in theology because of life. Life had just become really, really hard. Hmm. I'd had a lot of very difficult things happen, and I could not make sense of it, and I couldn't reconcile myself to God. And I had thrown myself so much into work so that I wouldn't have to think or feel. I could just try to create success and not have to think about what was really going on inside me. But I knew I was alienated from God and not fulfilling any of the purposes that I did realize He had called me to. So there was a point where I knew I needed to get answers. And for me, I felt God saying, you go get the answers in the Greek and the Hebrew. So that began my theological education.
Fantastic. Well, you're here to talk about deconstructing evil. You're going to be giving a lecture on a Saturday night here at the library. And it's a delight to have you back to talk about it. What are you going to be talking about? What do you mean deconstructing evil?
Yeah, deconstructing, of course, sometimes that word becomes overused, but pretty much every week I'm in conversation with people, sometimes former students, sometimes pastors and former pastors, who are deconstructing their faith, taking it apart frequently because of suffering or evil or hardships that they've experienced. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's lots of other reasons as well, but in my life, knowing that I myself had really just about left the Lord, come to a place where I said, God, I don't even know why I'm believing in you, except that I knew I had encountered God, but I knew I needed more than that. And so deconstructing evil began as my process with God of saying, all right, what is this looking evil in the face? And saying, I'm going to figure you out. We're going to wrestle this out. So it was wrestling with what is evil? Where did this come from? And it's been a long process of wrestling with it, both theologically as well as personally. And so my dissertation was on evil in Genesis, and I wrote a book, also published that, which was a bit more academic, just breaking it down from specifically the book of Genesis, but it is applicable to the Bible. So I continue to take that further and help people face evil, because that's what we don't want to do. N.T. Wright said in his book, Evil and the Justice of God, we tend to face evil in three ways. First, we don't expect it to happen. Second, therefore, it slaps us in the face. Third, we respond in immature and dangerous ways. And so that is something I don't want to see people have to do anymore.
Have you been able to, for yourself, reconstruct faith on the other side of the suffering and the hardship that you've been through? Because you were widowed a number of years ago, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's been 19 years. Wow. My husband, after 9 years of illness, took his life when our son was 11. And so there were a lot of hardships, and there were many hardships even before that as well. And when I began my PhD, I was at a point, I just finished a Master of Divinity, and I was at a point where I did not know if God was good. The goodness of God was just a theological construct for me. The Bible said so. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that God was good. I didn't know if God was just. And that was how I began my investigation in the Hebrew Bible, and also, of course, leading then, of course, into the New Testament as well. Mm. But it was a great way to start, because I did not come in with preconceived notions. I wasn't trying to prove anything. I was simply trying to understand what in the world is going on, both in my life and in the lives of people around me who had been devastated in various ways.
Yeah. Whenever you're doing service in the church, you're going to run into encounter people who have gone through unspeakable hardships, suffering, and it very often deconstructs their faith, like you said, and they lose their faith altogether, or it becomes weak and ineffectual in their lives. People do all sorts of things to try to cope with that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I found one of the problems, if I could call it that, issues, I'm not sure what the right term is, was that I didn't really know what good was either. And so I would try to say, well, people are telling me that everything that happens is God's will, so therefore this must be good. But there were some things that, doggone it, they just weren't good. They were horrible. Mm. And so this may fly in the face of some people's theological convictions, but nevertheless,
yeah,
it's important to recognize what good is. So, for example, Joseph, when he was a slave, he didn't say, oh, this is great, I'm just going to stay here. When he was put in prison, he didn't say, oh, that's God's will for my life, I'm just going to be a happy slave person. He was still looking for that dream to be fulfilled that God had given him. So he wasn't making allusions to himself. He wasn't being delusional about, oh, this is just wonderful. And I see people doing that with evil. I did that with some of the things that I suffered and went through. I was trying to say, well, this must just be good. It wasn't. Mm. So it's important for us to identify what is going on. Is this good or not? Is this how things are supposed to be or not? Mm. And that is a process. And there's frequently not easy answers. And so I'm not trying to make light of evil or ways to solve it, but simply to provide a framework to look at it. Let's look at it, because if we don't look at it, if we don't define it, it becomes this nebulous phantom that where we live in fear. We're afraid of what we don't understand. So often we're afraid of evil because we don't understand it, and we're just trying to ignore it or pretend or make it go away. And that's not going to help us through it. Mm. I'll just mention there was a critical, one of the critical points where God was dealing with me was, often the Lord will deal with me, but a verse will drop into my head, and then I'll sit and think about it, and then I'll just hear the Spirit of God say something. So the verse dropped in my head, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And of course, everybody knows Psalm 23, one of the most memorized passages. So I'm thinking, okay, that's a good verse. And I just heard the Spirit of God just inside me saying, the point here is you go through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't set up camp here, and you don't lay down here. Mm. Fear nothing, because I am with you, and I'm with you to bring you through this.
Through the valley.
Through the valley. Don't set up shop here.
Yeah, don't build a city. Don't
live in the city of despair the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that can happen so easily.
Well, the theologians and philosophers have been dealing with the problem of evil and suffering for a long time. But they do so in sort of an abstract way. It sounds like your approach is really one that is very concrete, one to help people through life and in life.
Absolutely. I appreciate, of course, all the philosophical things written about the problem of evil. It helps us logically deal with it, but evil is personal. And so much as we can try to be logical, evil creates trauma. Evil paralyzes us, it disables us, and we have to be able to sit down and wrestle. Along that line, speaking of wrestling, one of the things in my studies of the Hebrew was coming across the passage in Genesis 32 where Jacob is wrestling with God. And I had always been told that Israel meant prince with the Lord. And it's certainly, that's certainly an interpretation. But when I'm looking at the passage, I'm realizing he was named Israel because he wrestled with God.
Yeah,
he got down and struggled, and God invited him into that wrestling match. And so when I realized that, I've met students who've said, I've been told I should never question God or never question the Bible. And so that one of my first responses is, well, let's just get rid of that idea right now. Let's question everything and question anything, because there's no question that's too hard for God. We may not get the answer. We may not get an answer that we want or that we're looking for, but we'll at least move a whole lot closer. So questioning God, wrestling with God, going before God, being honest with God. And that's why I've also come to so love, for example, the lament psalms. Almost a third of the psalms are psalms of lament. I was never taught that. I was taught as a Christian, you know, come to Jesus and he's going to make your life all better.
It's a rose garden.
It's a rose garden, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
no, it's a wrestling match, right?
It
and
is.
Paul talks about that. He talks about wrestling and as a kind of a metaphor for the Christian life and so boxing the air and those kind of things. So you were talking earlier about good, and it struck me about the word, the phrase came to me, the will of God, God's will. So in your construct now, is everything that happens God's will?
I know some people won't like my response, but no. That in the book that I'm finishing the edits for right now, it's Demystifying Evil. We didn't want to use the word deconstructing because that could bring in all kinds of other criticisms, but demystifying, taking the mystery out of it and facing it. And trying to think of a short way to say a very, very long answer.
Well, we just need to go read your book. We'll have you back to talk about your book. But I mean, in some systems and some people's thinking, well, if it happens, it must be God's will. But it strikes me that Jesus urges us as disciples to pray that God's will be done, which implies to me that a lot of what happens is not God's will.
Exactly. And the Lord's Prayer, or some say the disciples' prayer, that's exactly one of the points I came to, because I actually did believe at one point, especially by the end of my Master of Divinity degree, I believed that everything that happened was God's will. And I was being run over, backed up, everything. Everything in my life was falling apart. I lost everything that was of any worth to me whatsoever by the end of my Master of Divinity degree.
Wow.
So it was, and I was just saying, well, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's all nice and good to say, but there was the summer actually in between my Master of Divinity degree and my PhD program, and I was just seeking out to the Lord. I had been praying to know his love, and because I knew I didn't. And some things became really clear to me over the process of the summer and in a variety of ways. But one of them was the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So that means it's not always being done here on earth, because otherwise he wouldn't teach us to pray that.
Pray for that.
Exactly.
And make that central. Make that a central part of our prayer.
Right. And the more I continue to read all the passages about suffering, about fight the good fight of faith, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with powers and principalities, world forces in this world, and spiritual forces of wickedness or evil in the heavenly realms. So there are forces of darkness that we need to contend with. And so I have come to learn so clearly, as in Romans 12, to be transformed through the renewing of our minds so that we can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our thoughts, our minds need to be changed. We need to change the way we're looking at our situation, circumstances. We're not supposed to be just thinking the way of whatever comes into our mind. So we have an active role to play in fighting the good fight of faith. And that is our calling. So I went from being someone who was just passive, just run me over, and I still loved the Lord, of course, even after everything that I lost. But then the Lord said, are you going to stand up and pray and fight and come against the evils? Or are you going to continue to let it run over you? It's like, wow, you mean there's something that I have to do? Mm. And so, irregardless of your theological construct, I think you can't get past the fact that the Bible says you've got a role to play in this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's something you need to do.
You're not just a passive receiver of good things.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, and sometimes I think grace is understood in that way, that it's just a very passive thing. You know, mm-hmm. you just accept it. It's a gift, and there's nothing you can do. And I understand that from one side, but I also understand that there's a lot that we are to work out our salvation, mm-hmm. Paul says,
yes,
in fear and trembling. So there's much to be said. We're talking to Dr. Ingrid Farrell about her lecture that's upcoming here at the Lanier Theological Library called Deconstructing Evil. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put in the show notes help people access that, but also to know a little bit about your book, Evil in Genesis. Mm-hmm. We're very excited that you're here.
Thank you.
And we thank you for being a part of our conversation today.
Thank you.
What a great conversation today. I hope you agree. Only 168 hours until the next podcast drops. I can't wait. Subscribe to our podcast. Rate us. It give other people the opportunity to find us. Tell a friend about us as well. Thanks to the Lanier Foundation, Jocelyn Solis, Phil Keggy, and Kathy Capes, who helped make this podcast possible. Till next time, thanks for listening. Hey, stand by for a nugget of wisdom from our guest, Dr. Ingrid Farrell.
I was a person who tended to be afraid of anything and everybody. I was afraid of speaking. I was afraid of doing things. Fear really ruled my life. And so, of course, did the bad things that had happened. So that passage that I mentioned from Psalm 23 has become a real firm point in my life. Fear nothing bad because God is with you. And so no matter what situation I am, whether it's a crazy situation driving on the road or I'm about to get up and speak or whatever, I've gotten some bad news for my family, that has become a rock in my life. It's like, I am not going to be afraid. I will fear nothing because God is with me. And so therefore, whatever it is, whatever happened, and this is my other statement, Satan, you're going to regret ever laying a hand on me. And so it's become, I think those have become my fighting words, that I refuse to allow evil to win in any situation.